It's 9:39. Good morning. I'm Blair Fuller, and if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Midday Utah, heard along the back of the Wasatch Front in Park City, 91.9 FM, also KCWW in Evanston, Wyoming, 88.3 and 105.3 FM in the Salt Lake Valley, and on 50,000 watt, 1010 AM. Coming up, conversation with Jonathan Kors, a freelance journalist based in New York and a contributor to ABC News, will be updating you on a story we've been following since Joshua first broke the story about how the U.S. military is purposely misdiagnosing ailing vets to cheat them out of disability and medical benefits. It's become a nationwide scandal, and there are actually going to be some congressional hearings coming up next week at which Joshua will be testifying. First this. Now, we've been following a story that my guest Joshua Kors broke in March about how the U.S. military is purposely misdiagnosing ailing vets. When soldiers are diagnosed with personality disorders, they receive no disability and medical benefits, saving the military a lot of money. In today's update, we're talking about an amendment being proposed by Senator Barack Obama to freeze the use of personality disorder diagnoses, and about next week's congressional hearings on the subject. Joshua Kors is a freelance journalist based in New York, contributor to the ABC News, and he'll also be testifying for the House Veterans Affairs Committee on Wednesday of next week. Morning, Joshua.
Good to be with you, Blair.
So, sounds like you've got a firestorm out there now. Both ABC News and ABC Nightline picked up on the story last week.
Yes, I worked with reporter Bob Woodruff, who has been renowned for his coverage of Iraq and veterans' issues following his own traumatic brain injury after an IED exploded near him in Iraq. I think he cares very much about veterans' benefits, and it seems clear that a lot of these members of Congress do, too. That's why they've convened a congressional hearing coming up on the 25th to look at this personality disorder scandal, to examine how these wounded vets coming back from Iraq are being booted out the side door with a pre-existing personality disorder and thus denied all benefits, disability, medical, and how they're being forced to give back their signing bonus, leaving them actually owing the Army on their final day in uniform.
Over the last 6 years, Defense Department records that you obtained indicated that over 22,000 personality disorder discharges have been processed, or average 10 service members who've been discharged per day every day during that time. That sounds like a lot.
It is. It seems to be a standard method that the Army and the other armed forces are using to discharge soldiers who are seeking expensive benefits like medical and disability care. I think the problems with both the Army and the VA are coming to a head, not just the hearings coming up, but also the resignation of Jim Nicholson, Secretary of the VA, this week. Obviously, there's been a lot of pressure on him after the Walter Reed scandal, the realization of just how disheveled the conditions at the military hospital in D.C. are. I can only imagine that the pressure on him increased after it was revealed just how irresponsible the discharge of these wounded veterans has become.
What is a personality disorder discharge? Can you explain that for my listeners, Joshua?
Absolutely. Well, a personality disorder is a psychological condition so severe that one wouldn't be able to serve from his very first day, an inability to connect with other soldiers, to take orders. Certainly that was not the case in any of the situations I looked at in the months I've been reporting on this issue. Soldiers who were deemed perfectly healthy to enter the military and then were deemed healthy yet again in a second screening before being deployed to Iraq. These soldiers, they only received this diagnosis of having this severe pre-existing condition after they were wounded in some form and sought benefits. And Blair, I should add that the review process here of these soldiers' health is extremely thorough. The soldiers who come into the army are deemed to be healthy, and it's only later in discharging them that the review gets extremely sloppy to diagnose them as having this pre-existing condition. Doctors at the hospitals I looked at interviewed nobody, not the friends or family, even the fellow soldiers, to show that this condition existed beforehand. The head of behavioral health at Fort Carson's Evans Army Hospital, Colonel Stephen Knorr, who will be testifying at this upcoming hearing, he told me that they didn't need to interview family or friends because those folks didn't have the keen psychological insight that he and his staff had to recognize personality disorder, and thus talking to them would pretty much be a waste of time.
So does this appear to be happening in any particular spot, any particular military installation?
Well,
or is it
no.
Or is it systemic?
It's obviously systemic. You look at the figures, you're looking at situations across the board. But I will add that a majority of the cases that we looked at for our Nightline report came from Fort Carson in Colorado.
Now, why in particular Fort Carson?
I can't say. You know, there's been an argument that there are several rogue doctors there who have been prone to provide this false discharge. But in my reporting for The Nation, I did look at installations across the country, from Fort Stewart in Georgia to Fort Polk. Obviously, with 22,500 discharges in the last 6 years, this can't just be isolated incidents.
12 minutes before 10 o'clock, we're talking with Joshua Kors, a freelance journalist based in New York and a contributor to ABC News. We're talking and updating you on a story that Joshua broke about a year ago about how the U.S. military, in some cases, apparently is purposely misdiagnosing ailing vets to cheat them out of disability and medical benefits. You're listening to Midday Utah, KPCW Park City, KCPW Salt Lake. Also testifying next Wednesday before the subcommittee is Army Specialist Jonathan Towne, who was the focus of your first story. What is Jonathan Towne going to tell them?
Towne will tell his personal story of having been just feet away from a rocket explosion in Ramadi, Iraq, losing a significant portion of his hearing from that blast, and later, when he sought benefits, disability, medical care, the Army told him that his deafness was caused by this pre-existing personality disorder. I think the absurdity of that claim really brings into sharp focus exactly what's happening to our veterans. And Blair, your listeners should know just how much is at stake, not only the health and welfare, but purely on a financial level. We're talking about $12.5 billion in disability and medical care over the course of these soldiers' lifetimes. Not just money for these soldiers, it means how much care they're going to get and what their health is going to be coming out. I think of the case of one soldier I looked at from Des Moines, Iowa, Chris Mosier. After receiving his false diagnosis of personality disorder, he went home without the treatment that he needed and killed himself. That's a situation we've seen many times. That can be stopped, obviously, in large part, if these soldiers get the right treatment and the right diagnosis before it.
Okay, but in the case of Army Specialist Towne, after your story came out, the Army did a 180 and said, well, he can have full medical benefits for the rest of his life, right?
Well, actually, that's not the case. The VA did a 180, and this is something we've seen several times. The VA was sloppy on one hand. They didn't provide him a doctor's appointment for 8 months following his discharge. But when the press reporting became too much of a burden, they did provide him this medical review. And it was the VA that decided he didn't have a pre-existing personality disorder at all. In fact, he was suffering wounds from his Iraq service, and specifically from that rocket explosion. They decided that he was wounded because of war and was 100% disabled. But the Army that was supposed to provide him a medical discharge and a review which would provide the Army's disability rating. They still insist that he has a personality disorder, and they're providing him no disability benefits at all.
So what does that mean? I'm not an expert in this area. If the VA says yes, you can get benefits, and the Army says no, where does that put Mr. Towns?
It's a very strange situation, and this is something that the House is going to be looking at changing when hearings come up later this month. What many Americans don't know is that there's a split system. The Army can say that you were wounded when you came into the Army because of a pre-existing condition. The VA can say that you were wounded in Iraq. And the two discharge systems will go parallel. You'll be able to collect VA benefits, but will not be able to collect Army benefits. One of the changes that's been recommended by many veterans groups is to provide only one rating, so that if the VA says you are wounded because of Iraq, that goes across the board.
The Army Surgeon General is scheduled to testify next Wednesday. What do you think he's going to say?
Well, Surgeon General Gail Pollack, her testimony is key here. Nobody has been able to get her to account for not just these bizarre discharges, but also for the aggressive cover-up that she launched once she was made aware of these cases. She initiated a 5-month thoughtful and thorough review, in her words. But later, when that review was questioned, it turned out that in 5 months, she didn't interview a single person, not one soldier, absolutely nobody. What they did do is go back to the doctor's offices where the false diagnoses were made and said, hey, did you get it right the first time? The doctor, Colonel Stephen Knorr, who supervised those original diagnoses, said, yes, we did. And they shut down the review at that point. One of the things she'll have to account for before the Congressional Committee is why she tapped Colonel Knorr, and only Colonel Knorr, to be the reviewer of these discharges.
Now, he also is scheduled to testify. Is he between a rock and a hard place here?
I think he is. And you know, some strange details about him have come out in recent months, not only from my reporting in which he talked about the uselessness of talking to families, but also a memo that was on his door, discovered by Daniel Zwerdling of NPR, which speaks in very aggressive terms about the lack of leniency that should be provided to soldiers with erratic behavior following post-traumatic stress disorder. Only the retarded and insane should be given leniency, he says. It's that kind of language that makes him a strange candidate to be the only person to review these cases, and Pollack's judgment in selecting him will be something that I'm sure the House committee will question.
Barack Obama, how did you get the senator interested in this? Was it you that did that or somebody else?
Well, I think general awareness spread. The point man on the Senate side has been Senator Kit Bond, the Republican from Missouri. He and 31 senators wrote a letter to the Secretary of Defense asking him to investigate this scandal. And later, with Barack Obama, Senator Kit Bond, Barbara Boxer, and several others, wrote an amendment that would go on an upcoming Iraq bill to put an immediate freeze on these discharges until the scandal could be sorted out. Certainly, it stands to reason for soldiers who served in Iraq and thus were deemed healthy on two different thorough reviews that they didn't have a pre-existing condition, and that type of discharge should be set aside until the Senate and House can find out exactly what's going on here.
Okay, besides the Army Surgeon General and this Colonel Knorr, who do you think the committee ought to be talking to? I mean, somewhere, someplace in that vast bureaucracy of the Army, somebody must have made this decision.
That seems to be my sense and the sense of those who have looked into this situation. How high up do these orders go to create these false discharges? I spoke with several Army lawyers who told me that the colonels at their base were being pressured to insist on a false diagnosis, that they were providing that pressure to the doctors. The lawyers told me they knew that pressure was being applied because the colonels had come to them and confessed to doing it. But who is pressuring those colonels to speak to the doctors? That's something we just don't know at this point. And that's something that hopefully will be revealed in the course of the House Committee's investigation.
So what's your suspicion? How far up the food chain does this go?
You know, journalists don't suspect. They simply seek the facts. And that's something that no person can comment on because there's simply not the information to reveal who is the source of this pressure to misdiagnose.
Mm-hmm. But certainly the case, when a story of this magnitude takes off, and ABC's all over it, other big newspapers and NPR picks up on it, it takes on a life of its own, and all of a sudden you start to get people who are clamming up or, in the alternative, are willing to talk to you off the record. Is that starting to happen? Are you starting to get from inside the military people willing to talk?
The momentum on this, it's almost a personal sense. Some days I feel like the ball really is rolling here, and other times I feel like at every step it's up for the congressmen, veterans, officials to really step up and say, it's come to me to make a difference, and I'm going to step forward and insist that someone be held responsible, that certain changes be made. At this point, we're going to see whether it's all talk from the Congress or whether they really are going to make a change and whether they really are going to hold those responsible for these 22,000 discharges accountable. Right now, we just don't know what's going to happen and whether the momentum dies or whether it moves forward into some folks being held accountable.
Joshua, any of this up on your website? Do you have a site where people could go and read the stories?
I do. All of this information, including recent interviews, is up on my website, joshuacors.com, K-O-R-S.
Joshua, appreciate your time. I'll be looking forward to what happens next Wednesday.
Thank you, Blair.